كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم هو أصدق القائلين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is none to guide aright. I'd like to begin by thanking everyone for coming today in this weather. So some came on foot, some came by car, and some came swimming. It has been raining for a couple of days now. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a blessed rain for everyone. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give some of this rain to our brothers and sisters in Somalia. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. So I'm going to start with this story about a man who was going to the masjid, and he saw a couple of people standing in front of the masjid. That was right before Ramadan, and it was almost time for the Iqamah, and they were still standing outside, two youth standing outside, and they didn't go inside for Salah. So he said, "Are you not going to pray inside, you donkey, both of you?" So one of them said, "I'm not going to pray inside." So he said, "Why?" He said, "Because donkeys don't pray. They just bray." And there's a difference in the English language between pray, a strong P, which means to make salah, and B, which is the sound made by a donkey. Al-Nahiq huwa bray, wal-salah huwa pray. So today, inshallah, my focus will be on da'wah to Muslims. لأنه عادة لما نذكر كلمة للدعوة نظن أن الحديث يكون عن غير المسلمين، إنما هنالك دعوة في الإسلام للمسلمين أنفسهم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يدعو المسلمين، وهو يعني من باب النصيحة. وأبدأ بحديث يزيد القسري رضي الله عنه، وهو في مسند الإمام أحمد. سأله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أتحب الجنة؟ قال: نعم. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فأحب لأخيك ما تحب لنفسك. So in this, I'm going to start with this beautiful hadith in Musnad of Imam Ahmad. The Prophet ﷺ asked one of the Sahaba, his name is Yazid al-Qasri, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Do you love Jannah? Would you like to go to Jannah?" He said, "Yes, of course." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Then love for humanity what you love for yourself." The word brother in the hadith could mean your brother in faith or your brother in humanity. And wallahi, I make dua for everyone to go to Jannah. I'm not going to get anything if Trump goes to Jahannam, right? I make dua for him, that Ya Allah, give him Hidayah, give him Jannah. Justin Trudeau, Ya Allah, give him Hidayah, give him Jannah. We make da'wah for everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide everyone to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So today we'll talk about da'wah to Muslims. And the thing is, Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is only 3 weeks away. And before Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuballighana Ramadan. Allahumma ballighana Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us life till we reach the month of Ramadan, and to give us the power and the strength to fast in this month in the proper way. Before Ramadan, some people have what I like to call TRS. That's temporary Ramadan syndrome. So a couple of days at the beginning of Ramadan, mashallah, they are very enthusiastic, they are very, mashallah, on fire, and they want to drag everyone to the masjid and pray, even though they themselves, outside Ramadan, they don't go to the masjid. But mashallah, they have this TRS syndrome at the beginning of Ramadan. So today, inshallah, we'll talk about the proper way of making da'wah to Muslims and how to attract people to Islam. Because sometimes you see someone, yes, they're not practicing to the best of their ability. They're 1 mile away from Islam. But if your approach is not correct, if you make da'wah to them the wrong way, they would be 15 miles away from Islam. So we have to choose our words and choose the right time. Timing is very key. Whether you make da'wah, whether you try to convince someone to do something. And this is why, subhanAllah, the brothers and the sisters, those who are married, sometimes you never get things done because we know when you talk to people, your husband or your wife, you don't choose the right time. You wake someone up like 3 in the morning to, okay, let's go to Hawaii for a vacation, or you want to convince someone to quit smoking and they are very tired, or they just came from work and they are very sleepy. You have to choose the right time. And this is why, subhanAllah, divorces happen because of the timing is not correct. And this is something we learned from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was all about timing and hikmah in da'wah. So whether you make da'wah to someone in your own house, like say for example, Allah gave you hidayah, you started to practice, and your parents don't pray. It happens. Sometimes the children are practicing, but the parents are not. How do you approach them? How do you make da'wah to them? Or a colleague, someone at work, or someone you study with, or your own brothers and sisters. So we need to choose the right time and the right way to convey the message to people, and this is what we call hikmah. So what was the approach of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in doing da'wah to Muslims? This is mentioned in many places in the Quran. You can look at the end of Surah Nahl, Surah 16, for example. ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. So call people, invite people to the way of Islam. Give nasiha to them with wisdom and good preaching. And at the end of Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, this is my way. I call everyone to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with basira. And they say in the Arabic language that the word basira means knowledge and wisdom, insight, basically. So what do we learn from this? A few things. Number one, when you make da'wah to a Muslim, and those who work in the field of da'wah, they know that making da'wah, especially to Muslims, is the most difficult type of da'wah. Doing da'wah in the streets, we do da'wah with the brothers here, or in the Fleet Market, Brother Hamid here, Brother Omar in the street da'wah. Non-Muslims come, they don't know anything about Islam except what they see on Fox News or in the media. So we give them a booklet on Islam, the translation of the Quran, the Arkan al-Islam, Arkan al-Iman, thank you, if they have a question, khalas, they go. But when it comes to making da'wah to Muslims, if someone is not praying or someone is doing something haram, you try to give them nasiha, goodness gracious, man. Like, they start to debate, and they argue, and they feel offended when you try to correct them, no matter how nice you are to them. This is what happens. And people always confuse culture with religion. You try to correct them, do it this way, because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it this way, they tell you, oh, no, 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 this is what we do in Cairo, this is what we do in Karachi, this is what we do. Come on, man, I'm telling you, the way Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, this is the Sunnah way, and now you're confusing culture with religion. So people always like to argue and debate. And subhanAllah, when you deliver the message, or you correct someone, and giving them ayat after ayat, and hadith after hadith, they like to debate and argue. MashaAllah, we have 1.6 billion muftis and imams in the Muslim world, right? We have thousands of doctors, thousands of engineers, thousands of teachers, thousands of cab drivers, but when it comes to Islam and in fatwa, everyone is a mufti, everyone is a scholar. Wallahi, one time, I was in my office and this sister came and she had a fight with her husband, you know, called the police on each other, chairs were flying, weapons of mass destruction in the house. She came to me, and it was Ramadan time. She was sitting there on the chair, and she was in tears, you know. So while we were talking, I was giving her, like, counseling, how to get over the problems. Another sister came, she knocked on the door, and she said, yeah, Sheikh, when I'm cooking biryani or something, Can I taste the food to see if I have enough salt or not? Then before I could even open my mouth, the sister who was in tears started to volunteer to give fatwa. Like, and she said, oh, mashallah, if you taste it. I said, I mean, get busy with your own problem with your husband. Leave fatwa to me, I'll take care of it, inshallah. Right? So people get offended and people don't accept nasiha. They feel like you're scratching their dignity. And mashallah, everyone feels scholarly when it comes to deen, you know? Even the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if someone came to them to ask for something, they would send them to someone else. Like if someone goes to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud or someone like Abdullah ibn Abbas, they would go to Abu Huraira, go to Abdullah ibn Umar, until it comes back to them, because everyone is sending the person to the other person until it comes to the first person. Right? But sometimes, subhanAllah, we jump to fatwa, right? So I remember one time I saw a brother in Egypt. I used to work with him at a TV station. And mashallah, this brother was covered with gold from head to toe. He had necklaces, bracelets, rings, and everything. Lots of gold, mashallah. And subhanAllah, if you like to get rich fast, you have to kidnap this brother. So much gold, so much gold. So I spoke to him one time. I still have his email, by the way. So I spoke to the brother one day, and I printed like 6-7 hadith from Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, don't wear gold, and so on and so forth. He said, I know all of them by heart. So what's your problem? If you know it is haram for men to wear gold, what is your problem? He said, brother, I will tell you. You don't know. I said, okay, teach me. He said, because this necklace, for example, is from my late mother, rahimahullah. So every time I see the necklace, it reminds me of my mother. So I said, keep it in your house. Put it on the wall. And every time you see it, you remember your mother. And he said, but you don't understand. I said, okay, teach me again. He said, it has an ayah from the Quran I love so much. And I like to keep it with me to remind me of this ayah. I said, what is the ayah? He said, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا وعمل لأخراك كأنك تموت غدا. I told him, it has nothing to do with the Quran. It's not even an ayah from the Quran. It says, work for this world as if you are living forever, and work for akhirah as if you are dying first thing in the morning. And I said, it's not an ayah, it's not a hadith. Maybe it's attributed to Imam Ali radiallahu anhu or Umar radiallahu anhu. It's a wise saying, but it is not from the Quran. He said, okay, I'll tell you the truth. I said, okay, tell me the truth. He said, when I'm not wearing gold, I can't breathe. I feel like I'm choking. I said, what does gold have to do with breathing? Nothing. So again, people come up with things to justify the wrong they're doing. And subhanAllah, sometimes when you try to convince you that it is wrong, that they try to convince you that it is best for you and you have to do it like them, the bad things they do. So you might hate me, but I don't like smoking. I'm allergic to cigarettes, right? You might agree or disagree, haram, bid'ah, you know, it's a big discussion among scholars. So I gave a talk in South Carolina. I was the imam there. So I gave a talk about harming ourselves, and you should take good care of your health, eat healthy, mashallah, live a good life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, don't kill yourselves or other people. And this, and I mentioned smoking passingly in the khutbah, passingly. You know, I know that it is one of the major causes of death in the world is smoking, right? So after the khutbah, this brother came to me and he said, you know what, you don't know anything about smoking because you don't smoke. I said, okay, what do you want to say? And he said, you know, he was talking for 30 minutes. Smoking has a lot of benefits. And I said, brother, I've been talking for half an hour and you never mentioned one benefit of smoking. And I'll tell you something, because you didn't tell me about the benefits, I'll tell you a few of them. In my village in Egypt, people are, you know, they have never been to school, but they learned in the school of life, in the village, in the farm. So smoking has three benefits. Number one, if you smoke, if you're a heavy smoker, you will never suffer from old age illnesses. Why? Because you will die young. And number two, if you smoke, no chor or robber will break into your house at night. Because why? Because you're up all night coughing, you can't breathe. And number three, When you smoke, dogs will never attack you. Why? Because you will age very fast and you'll have to walk with a cane. And when the dogs see the cane in your hand, they will run away. These are the only benefits. Thanks for coming. Shut the door. Bye-bye. So there are no benefits, man. But the people, they try to, you know, counter argument. And when you give them a proof from Quran or Hadith, they are not listening. They are preparing the next rebuttal, the next argument. And this is why they are never convinced. They think of the second argument while you are giving them the answer or the proof. So Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was doing da'wah to people with hikmah. And he understood the people. And he understood how their situation, what their situation was, and who they were. And he gave them nasiha suitable to them. So when you give da'wah to people based on the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you have to have hikmah. We'll talk about hikmah inshallah in the rest of the khutbah. But number one, when you do da'wah to someone and correct them to do something halal or something obligatory like salah on time, fasting. Some people fast in Ramadan and they don't pray, which is common. I've seen a lot of people who fast but they don't pray. So they are not doing something they're supposed to do. Or you see someone who is doing something they are not supposed to do, like they smoke, they drink something. You give them nasiha either to do something good or to quit something bad. You have to lead by example. Because what is the point if you tell someone, or especially your children, if you smoke, you will be an idiot. And you smoke in front of them, they will never listen to you because you're not leading by example. And if you tell them, don't talk about other people behind their backs, and the whole day you are talking about your neighbors, how ugly they are, and their cooking skills is in the basement, and all is in, you know, so you have to lead by example. People will not listen to you if you are not leading by example. If you tell them pray and you don't pray, or if you tell them don't smoke and you smoke all the time, they will never listen to you. A long time ago, I came across this story from Imam Abu Hanifa. I'm not sure if this story is authentic or not, but I've read it in many places. They say that Ja'a al-Abidu, some slaves came to Imam Abu Hanifa and they said, we want you to give a powerful khutbah on freeing slaves. It's a good thing in Islam, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was always urging people to free slaves. So we want you to give a khutbah to speak about the significance and the reward and the blessings of freeing slaves. So they came for Jummah and they expected to the imam to speak about freeing slaves. He spoke about something totally different. He spoke about zakat. Next Jummah, they came expecting him to speak about freeing slaves and he spoke about Ramadan. Something totally different. Then next week, they expected him to speak about freeing slaves and he spoke about Laylatul Qadr. La hawla wa quwwata. What is this? So after four Jummahs, finally the Imam gave a powerful khutbah on freeing slaves, so much so that everyone in the masjid, they freed their slaves. So they came to the Imams, these slaves came to the Imam and they said, we thank you, mashallah, you did a fantastic job, but it is a bit too late. It has been a month since we spoke to you. And he said, when you told me, because I had never had a slave, so I bought one, and I freed the slave, so when I go and give khutbah to people to free their slaves, someone will come and say, what do you know about freeing slaves? You didn't have one. So I bought one and I freed him immediately to lead by example. And the Prophet ﷺ himself was leading by example. He was telling people, do this and don't do this, and he didn't do the opposite. He was leading by example. So this is the requirement number one for someone who is doing da'wah to his Muslim brothers and sisters, to lead by example. And number two, to have knowledge of what you are talking about. Like you see someone praying somewhere and they pray two rak'ah and you start fighting with them, this is not acceptable. And the brother is musafir. So you have to know the rulings related to someone who is a traveler and the salah is shortened and so on and so forth before you start questioning them. Knowledge of Islam and the knowledge of the person and their situation. You see someone walking in the street you haven't seen in 10 years, like you used to go to school together, you see him walking with a lady in the streets and you say, Subhanallah, Zindiq, Fasiq, you walk with a woman in the street, hand in hand, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you doing this? Oh brother, this is my wife. So before jumping to conclusions, you have to understand the situation before you make nasiha to people and offend them. So this is something we learned from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. So I'm going to kindly ask you to move forward because people are waiting outside. Jazakallah khair. Move up, please. So what is hikmah? When you do da'wah to someone, you have to have hikmah. A lot of people have knowledge. Mawlana, they go to school 25 years, they memorize Quran, they memorize all the books. So in Islam, just like there is Islam and there is Iman and Ihsan, there is also knowledge and hikmah. So knowledge is for everyone. You can learn from Shiyukh, you can learn from YouTube or Sheikh Google, you can have knowledge. But hikmah is not for everyone. And these are not my words, these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُؤْتِي الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hikmah, wisdom, only to whoever He wills. So it is a privilege, it is not a right. So wisdom is a privilege, not a right. So what is hikmah in da'wah? Well, in everything, basically, to say the right thing to the right people in the right way at the right time. This is hikmah. وفي الحديث في البخاري يقول للصحابة كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بالموعظة في الأيام كراهية السآمة علينا. So in Bukhari, in other books of hadith, the Sahaba said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to choose the time very carefully when to give us nasiha, because he didn't want us to get bored. So he didn't talk all the time, every day, all the time. No, he chose the time very carefully. When the people were willing to listen, and they were able to listen, he would talk to them. But if people were busy or tired or sleepy, he wouldn't talk to them. So he chose the time, and this is the key to opening people's hearts. Choosing the right time is part of the hikmah. And the interesting thing about the word hikmah, when you read in the Quran, how do you learn hikmah? By following the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say in tafsirs, whenever you see the word ayatullah wal hikmah in the Quran, ayatullah means Quran, hikmah means sunnah, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَاذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So every time you see the word ayatullah wal hikmah in the Quran, hikmah means sunnah, right away. There's no question about it. So one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he used to make da'wah to people and Muslims and correct them, is not talk to them in public. The Prophet ﷺ would never offend anyone in public. He would either talk to them privately, or he would give a talk to highlight the mistake without mentioning the name. Because when you talk to someone in private, you honor them, but when you talk to them in public, you disgrace them. Because what is the point? If someone doesn't know how to pray, and you correct them in front of everyone and calling them idiots and you don't know how to pray, and so they will not listen to you. You do not correct people by offending them. They will not listen to you. So sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would correct someone and the Prophet ﷺ would never mention it. And the only time we know about it, the only reason we know what happened, is because this Sahabi came forward after the death of the Prophet ﷺ and told the story. So I'm going to conclude with this story to clarify what I mean, and we'll continue next week, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life. Again, if you have a spot in front of you, move forward, because the people are waiting outside. So in just 1 minute, this is one of the most beautiful stories about the hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in da'wah, and his kindness and compassion in correcting people. The story is in At-Tabarani. It's an authentic hadith in At-Tabarani. It's one of the most beautiful hadith that I've come across. Authentic hadith in At-Tabarani. So a sahabi by the name of Khawat ibn Jubayr al-Ansari. So Khawat was a new Muslim, and he was a youth. Maybe 16, 17, he was young in Medina. He was from Medina. So he accepted Islam, Khawat ibn Jubayr al-Ansari. And he said, I went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time outside Medina. So in the break, I had some free time, so I went outside the Muslim camp And I found some beautiful ladies. He was a new Muslim, you know, he didn't know all the details. So he was there, he saw the ladies. So mashallah, he got electrocuted, he ran back to his tent, and he put on his nicest clothes, mashallah, combed his hair, some perfume, and he came back and he sat with the ladies and he started to chit-chat and crack jokes with them. And he said, while we were doing this, the Prophet ﷺ came out and he saw me. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَظِيمًا مُهَابًا. He said, the Prophet ﷺ was so honorable and so charismatic when he came, I didn't know what to say, I was like so confused. And the Prophet ﷺ smiled and he said, okay, what are you doing with the ladies? And he said, I didn't know what to tell him. And I said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ لِي جَمَلًا شَرُودًا. I have a wild camel that keeps running away, and these ladies, may Allah reward them, Allah ja'alahu mizan hasanatum, they are making a rope for me so I can tie my camel so it doesn't run away. So the Prophet ﷺ smiled and left. And he said, I left after him. But the point was, Khawat himself in the hadith said, Wallahi, I know I was lying, and the Prophet ﷺ knew I was lying, but he didn't tar or feather me. He just smiled and left, and he knew what I was up to, so I left after him. He said, after we returned to Medina, I was walking in the street and I took a U-turn, and I found the Prophet ﷺ walking in front of me. So I slowed down because I don't want to catch up with him. And the Prophet ﷺ stopped and he turned around and he said, come here, come here. مَا فَعَلَ شِرَادُ جَمَلِكَ. What happened to your wild camel that you were telling me about the other day? He said, I didn't know what to tell him. And the Prophet ﷺ smiled and left. He said, a few days later I was walking, and I heard people behind me say, Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah. So I knew that the Prophet ﷺ was walking. So I walked fast. The Prophet ﷺ walked faster and he caught up with me and he said, Assalamu alaikum, ma fa'ala shiradu jamali. What happened to your wild camel? So I didn't know what to tell him. A few days later, he said, I was praying my sunnah in the masjid, tahiyatul masjid tu rak'ah. In the middle of the masjid, usually the Prophet ﷺ will go to the front to pray his tahiyah. So he said, this time the Prophet ﷺ stood next to me. He did his two, and he sat next to me, so I knew he was coming for me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay. So Khawat, when he saw the Prophet ﷺ sitting next to him, he said, I started to read the longest surah in the book, Surah Baqarah, like to make it very long. And the Prophet ﷺ came close to me and he said, I'm here, I'm waiting for you, and I got all day long, okay? So he said, I better prepare a good answer for Rasulullah ﷺ. So after he finished, sure enough, the Prophet ﷺ asked the same question. مَا فَعَلَ شِرَادُ جَمَلِكَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. He said, what happened to your wild camel that you were telling me about the other day? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I got some very good news for you. MashaAllah, my camel took shahada and it is not running away anymore. My camel accepted Islam, it is not running away. فَتَبَسَّمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَدَعَى لَهُ بِخَيْرٍ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled and made dua for him. So now imagine if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught him and feathered him and called him a bad Muslim, zindiq, fasiq, all these names, he would have run away. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was teaching by his akhlaq and his manners. Yes, the person made a mistake, there's no question about this. But what do you do? We don't hate the person, we hate the action itself. So we should focus on the action and not attack the person. And this will be the focus of the khutbah next time, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us hikmah and give us knowledge to do da'wah. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم بلغنا رمضان اللهم بلغنا رمضان اللهم بلغنا رمضان وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقم الصلاة.